Okay, the date is January 11th, 1991. I'm at Phyllis and Jesse Mark's house in Glenville, West Virginia. Okay, Phyllis, you want to try it?
This is called The Orphan Girl. No home, no home, cried the orphan girl at the door of the princely hall. As she painfully stood on the marble steps and leaned on the polished wall. Her head was bare and her clothes were torn as she tried to cover her feet with her tattered garments covered with snow, yes, covered with snow and sleet. My father, alas, I never knew, as tears dimmed her eyes so bright. My mother sleeps in a new-made grave. 'Tis an orphan that begs tonight. The night was dark and the snow fell fast as the rich man shut the door, and his proud lips curled in scorn as he said, no home nor no bread for the poor. The rich man sleeps on his velvet couch and dreams of his silver and gold, while the orphan sleeps on her bed of snow and murmurs, so cold, so cold. The morning dawned and the orphan girl still lay at the rich man's door. But her soul had flown to that home above where there's room and there's bread for the poor. 3 years went by and the rich man died. He descended to fiery hell. The orphan sleeps in the angel's arms and murmurs, all is well, all's well.
Ready.
This song is called The Orphan Girl. No home, no home, cried the orphan girl at the door of the princely hall. While she painfully stood on the marble steps and leaned on the polished wall. Her head was bare and her clothes were torn as she tried to cover her feet with her tattered garments covered with snow, yes, covered with snow and sleet. My father, alas, I never knew, as tears dimmed her eyes so bright. My mother sleeps in a new-made grave. 'Tis an orphan that begs tonight. The night was dark and the snow fell fast as the rich man shut the door, and his proud lips curled in scorn as he said, no home nor no bread for the poor. The rich man sleeps on his velvet couch and dreams of his silver and gold, while the orphan sleeps on her bed of snow and murmurs, so cold, so cold. The morning dawned and the orphan girl still lay at the rich man's door, but her soul had flown to that home above, where there's room and there's bread for the poor. 3 years went by and the rich man died. He descended to fiery hell. The orphan sleeps in the angel's arms and murmurs, all is well, all's well. This song come from my father-in-law. I don't think he'd ever sung to me if he'd known he's going to be my father-in-law, but it's a forerunner of your Old King Cole you sing today. It was supposed to be Old King Called, but called for his ball. But anyway, this is the way we sing it now. Old King Cole called for his ball, called for his fiddlers three. But none of his fiddlers couldn't fiddle a bit, but a mighty good fiddle had he. T.I. Addle said, the fiddlers, all you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his fifers three. But none of his fifers couldn't fife a bit, but a mighty good fife had he. T.I. Addle said, the fifers... I'll have to start again, won't I? This song I learned from my father-in-law, Leif Marks. His name was spelled Lafayette, but they called him Lafayette. And he didn't know he was going to be my father-in-law at the time, or he probably never would have sung to me. This is a forerunner of what we sing now in the school, Old King Cole. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his fiddlers three. But none of his fiddlers couldn't fiddle a bit, but a mighty good fiddle had he. T.I. Addle said, the fiddlers, all you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his fifers three. But none of his fifers couldn't fife a bit, but a mighty good fife had he. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle said, the fiddlers, all you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his drummers three. But none of his drummers couldn't drum a bit, but a mighty good drum had he. Drumma, 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 said the drummers. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle said the fiddlers. All you girls, fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his weavers three. But none of his weavers couldn't weave a bit, but a mighty good loom had he. Run it in and out, said the weavers. Drumma, 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 said the drummers. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle said the fiddlers. All you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his preachers three. But none of his preachers couldn't preach a bit, but a mighty good text had he. Good gosh almighty, said the preachers, running in and out, said the weavers. Drumma, 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 said the drummers. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle said the fiddlers. All you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his farmers three. But none of his farmers couldn't farm a bit, but a mighty good farm had he. Gee woo haw, said the farmers. Good gosh almighty, said the preachers. Running in and out, said the weavers. Drumma, 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 said the drummers. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle said the fiddlers. All you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. Old King Cole called for his bowl, called for his harpoons three. But none of his harpoons couldn't harp a bit, but a mighty good harpoon had he. Ring dang diddle, said the harpoons. Gee woe haw, said the farmers. Good gosh almighty, said the preachers. Running in and out, said the weavers. Drumma, 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 said the drummers. Doodle, 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 said the fifers. T.I. Addle, said the fiddlers. All you girls, you fair Scot lads, fare thee well, my dears. This song's called The Gypsy's Warning or The Gypsy's Lament. I've heard it called lately. Someone had heard me sing it. My grandmother and mother sang it. I found it in a magazine after lots of years and remembered that I knew it. Do not trust him, gentle lady, with his voice so low and sweet. Heed not him who kneels before thee, gently pleading at thy feet. Once there was a gentle maiden, bright of life and like thee fair. And he wooed and won her, filled her gentle heart with care. Then he heeded not her pleading, nor cared he her life to save. First she perished, now she's sleeping in a cold and silent grave. Keep thy gold, I do not want it. Lady, I have prayed for this, for the day that I might rob him of expected bliss. Gentle lady, do not wonder at my words so fierce and wild. Lady, in a churchyard yonder lays a gypsy's only child. I made a boo-boo, didn't I? This is called Era Patty Was a Boy, and I have no idea where it came from. Mom always blamed all the silly stuff onto her stepbrothers. But I've never heard anybody else do this, and it you sing a little and you talk a little. Era Patty was a boy who looked out for number one. Era Patty was a boy when the eating did begun. His mither was a Murphy, and he was his mither's son, and he ate till he burst in the morning. We got on board a ship and started for America, and we hadn't been on board very long. Ere the vessel sprung a leak, she let water in below. Go bring the doctor quick, said Patsis, in to leave her go. I had the same complaint myself, and for Ireland I did go. Thought that I should die before the morning. We hadn't been on shore very long, till along came a cannonball and shrapped the head of the captain. And says he, Pat says he, if you have any regard for your old captain, says he, you'll go out and hunt up his head, says he. I'll do it, says I. And I got out and got looking around, and I spied a head rolling uphill toward a canteen of whiskey. And I picked it up and tucked it to him, and says I, Cap, says I, here's your head, says I. Tis not, says he. Tis, 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 says I. And I throwed his head in his own face. Divil a one other head I'll bring ye, and I walked off a-singing. Era Patty was a boy who looked out for number one. Era Patty was a boy when the eating did begun. His mither was a Murphy, and he was his mother's son, and he ate till he burst in the morning. Where I started. Do not... I supposed to... Do not... this song I heard my mother and grandmother sing, and I hadn't remembered it for a long time. And then I found it again in the magazine and realized I did know it. Just the words was in there. It's called The Gypsy's Warning or The Gypsy's Lament. Do not trust him, gentle lady, with his voice so low and sweet. Heed not him who kneels before thee, gently pleading at thy feet. Once there was a gentle maiden, bright of life and like thee fair. And he wooed and won her, filled her gentle heart with care. Then he heeded not her pleading, nor cared he her life to save. First she perished, now she's sleeping in a cold and silent grave. Take thy gold, I do not want it. Lady, I have prayed for this, for the time that I might rob him of expected bliss. Gentle lady, do not wonder at my words so fierce and wild. Lady, in a churchyard yonder lays a gypsy's only child.
This is called St. Peter at the Gate. I don't know for sure if I learned this from Mom or not, but she was always saying little things. St. Peter stood guard at the Golden Gate, with a solemn mien and an air sedate. When up to the top of the golden stairs, a man and a woman ascended there. Applied for admission, they came and stood before St. Peter, so great and good, in hopes the city of peace to win, and asked St. Peter to let them in. The woman was tall and lank and thin, with a straggly beardlet upon her chin, and the man was short and thick and stout, and his stomach was built so it rounded out. The choirs in the distance, the echoes woke, and the man stood still while the woman spoke. "O thou who guardest the gate," said she, "we too come hither beseeching thee, that we may enter that heavenly land and play our harps with the angel band. Of me, St. Peter, there is no doubt. There's nothing in heaven to bar me out. I've been to meeting 3 times a week, and almost always I'd rise and speak. I'd tell the neighbors about the day that they would repent of their evil way. I'd tell the neighbors, I'd tell them all about Adam and Eve and the primeval fall. I talked to them loud and long, for my lungs was good and my voice was strong." And so, St. Peter, you can plainly see that the gates of heaven are open to me. But my old man, I'm sorry to say, he hasn't lived exactly in the narrow way. He smokes and he swears, and grave faults he's got, and I don't know whether he'll pass or not. Why, he never would pray with an earnest vim, or go to revivals or join in the hymn. And I had to leave him in sorrow there, while I, with the chosen, united in prayer. He ate what the pantry chanced to afford, while I, in my purity, sang to the Lord. And if cucumbers was all that he got, it's a chance whether he even merited them or not. But, St. Peter, I love him so. To the pleasures of heaven, won't you please let him go? I've done enough. A saint I've been. Won't that atone? Won't you let him in? But, St. Peter, it seems to me that this gate isn't kept as it ought to be. You should stand by that opening there, not sit down in that easy chair. And, St. Peter, my sight is dim, but I don't like the way that your whiskers are trimmed. They're cut too wide and outward tossed. They'd look much better narrow, cut straight across. Well, we must be going. Our crown's to win, so open, St. Peter, and we'll pass in. St. Peter sat silent and stroked his staff, but in spite of his stature, he had to laugh. And then he said with a fiery gleam in his eye, "Who's tending this gateway, you or I?" And then he arose, in stature tall, and pressed the button beside the wall, and said to the imp who answered the bell, "Escort this woman around to hell." The man stood still as a piece of stone, sadly, gloomily, there alone. for a lifelong settled idea he had that his wife was good and he was bad, and if she went to the regions dim, then there wasn't the ghost of a show for him. And so he turned by habit bent to follow wherever the woman went. St. Peter, standing on duty there, observed that the top of his head was bare, and he called the gentleman to him and said, "Sir, how long have you been wed?"
30 years, with a weary sigh. Then he thoughtfully added, "Why?"
30 years with that woman there? No wonder the top of his head is bare. Swearing is wicked, and smoking's not good. He swore, and he smoked. I should think that he would. 30 years with that tongue so sharp. Ho, Angel Gabriel, give him a harp. Give him a harp with golden strings, and a glittering robe, and a pair of wings. And see that on the finest ambrosia he feeds, for he's had about all the hell that he needs. It isn't just hardly the thing to do, to roast him on earth and in the future, too. And so they gave him a seat alone, one with a cushion, up near the throne. And he said as he entered the realms of day, "Well, this beats cucumbers anyway." And so the scriptures have come to pass, that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This song I didn't get from my mother. It was sung by a lady that came to help Mother clean. Her name was Georgie Snyder. It's called Pearl of Brine. I think some people call it Pearl Brine. It's supposed to be based on a true story. Down in a lone green valley, where the flowers bloom and fade, there lays poor Pearl O'Brien, still moldering in her grave. She died not broken-hearted, or of disease she fell, but in one moment parted from the one she loved so well. One night the stars were shining, the moon was shining too. To Pearl O'Brien's cottage there came young Jackson Blue. Said, "Pearlie, let us wander into the woods so gay. While wandering we will ponder upon our wedding day." The woods were dark and dreary, Pearl was afraid to go. Said Jackson, "I'm so weary, let us retrace our way." "Retrace your way, no, never, for in these woods you'll die. So say farewell forever to family, friends, and home." Down, down she knelt before him and pleaded for her life. Into her snow-white bosom he plunged that fatal knife. "Dear Jackson, I'll forgive you," she said with a dying breath. "You know I ne'er deceived you," and he closed her eyes in death. A stranger found poor Pearl, cold lifeless on the ground, with the beads of death around her, and the sun shone all around. Down in a lone green valley, where the flowers bloom and fade, there lays poor Pearl O'Brien, a moldering in her grave. This is a... Oh, you didn't tell me.
Okay, ready?
This is a song that my neighbor below me here sang, and then Virginia Blake sang it too. She has a different tune, but that doesn't matter with a folk song.
The wedding bells were ringing, and the bride and groom were there, walking down the aisle together while the organ filled the air, telling tales of fond affection vowed no more to part. Just another fatal wedding, just another broken heart. Do you want me to quit that and get a little higher?
Yeah, that's fine.
Huh?
Yeah, that would be okay.
The first time I heard this song was... The first time I heard this song was my neighbor over the hill here, Mrs. Lou Zader, and then Virginia Blake sung it, and she had a different tune. But that's all right with a folk song. It's whatever locality it's learned in. It's called The Fatal Wedding. The wedding bells were ringing on a cold and wintry night. The church was decorated, all the world seemed fair and bright. A mother with her baby came and saw the lights aglow. She remembered how those same bells rang for her 3 years ago. "I'd like to be admitted, sir," she told the sexton old, "just for the sake of baby to protect him from the cold. This wedding is not for the poor, but for the rich and grand. And with the eager waiting crowd outside, you'll have to stand." She begged the sexton one more time to let her go inside. "For baby's sake, you may go in," the gray-haired man replied. "Does anyone know the reason why this couple should not wed? Speak now or hold your peace forever," the aged parson said. "I must object," the woman cried in voice so meek and mild. "The bridegroom is my husband, and this is our little child. What proof have you?" the parson said. "My infant," she replied. She held it up, then knelt to pray. The infant child had died. The wedding bells were ringing, and the bride and groom were there, walking down the aisle together while the organ pealed the air, telling tales of fond affection bowed no more to part. Just another fatal wedding, just another broken heart. The parents of the bridegroom clasped the outcast by the hand. "You'll have a home with us forever, you've saved our child from harm." The parents and the outcast then quickly went away. The father died by his own hand just at the break of day. No wedding feast was spread that night. Instead, two graves were made. In one the little baby, and in one the father lay. This story has been told by all round firesides warm and bright, of just another broken heart, just a fatal wedding night. That was... Well, this is another little ditty I learned from my mom. She's could entertain the people around town sometimes. Three men went a-hunting, so the people say.